Open with me to the book of James, and as you open there, I will explain why are we in James. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you, and if you're not, then you already know that we have been going through the Gospel of John. And as a general rule in this church, we go through entire books of the Bible verse by verse. In Sunday school class, we're going through the great book of Hebrews. On Tuesday nights at Tuesday night Bible study, we're going through the great book of Philippians. And on Sunday mornings, we're going through the Gospel of John. But there are a couple of reasons why we're going to look at two verses out of James 5 this morning. One is that a couple of weeks ago in our Monday morning elders meeting, Pastor Drew was leading us in a discussion about caring for the sick. How many of you have battled with sickness since the beginning of the year? Show of hands. Yeah, almost everyone. Quite a few are missing today because of illness. And Pastor Drew read to us from a book called Biblical Eldership on some comments from James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, our verses for this morning. And as Drew is known to do, he asked some really good questions. And then last week, for Resurrection Sunday, we talked about the fact that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, part of the good news is that you will be receiving a new resurrection body one day. But we still have to live in these bodies, which are subject to illness and sickness. And so Drew's questions and last week's message and the fact that today time is a little more compressed because of communion, it made me go back and look at these verses in James 5, which are very important but very controversial. So I want us to look at them this morning. James 5, verses 14 and 15. The title of the message is Help for the Weak and Weary Saint. James 5, verses 14 and 15. As always, I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Here's the big question for this morning. What does that mean? Because you know what it sounds like it means? Let me tell you. And this is not what it means. But here's what it sounds like. Sounds like it means, if anyone among you is ever sick with any sickness, whether arthritis or asthma, bronchitis or bunions, the common cold or COVID-19, if anyone among you is ever sick with any sickness, forget the pharmacy. Don't call the doctor. Just call the elders of the church. Any day of the week, night or day, and preferably at the onset of symptoms, as soon as you have a sniffle, call for the elders. They will come to your home. They will pray over you. They will anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And assuming that they pray in faith, you will be instantly healed. And if you have any sins, these too will be forgiven. Basically, free, guaranteed health care for you and your family. Membership has its privileges. Plus, added bonus, if you fail to be healed instantly, whose fault is it? It is the elders, because it says the prayer of faith will save the sick, so you can blame them or fire them and get new elders, and free health care is instantly back. Now, that may sound far-fetched, but there are actually some who believe that that's what this is saying. And they believe that if you fail to be healed, it is a lack of faith either on your part or on the part of the elders. Is that what this means? It is not. We need to understand what it does mean, because it is important. It is the Word of God. So to that end, we're going to look first at the problem, second, at the prescription, and third, at the promise. So first, what is the problem that James is really addressing here? Is it sickness of any kind? It is not. Actually, if you look up at verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? This is the far more general term for any kind of suffering, including sickness. And what's the prescription there? Is anyone suffering? Let him pray. If you're suffering from any kind of sickness, and I think we all who are in Christ do this anyway, pray. Ask the Lord to give you relief. But you don't have to forget about the pharmacy, and you don't have to forget about the doctor. Some of you, I have no doubt, have been to the pharmacy since the start of the year. They are doing a booming business, and it's great. We have wonderful things like Neosporin and Pepto-Bismol and Aloe. I've learned a lot of new ones this week. Fluoromethylone, that's one. It's amazing. Great if you have itchy, red, allergic eyes. But here in verse 14, it's something different. The problem being addressed here is this. Weakness and weariness to the point of you don't feel like going on. You don't feel like getting up. Let me show you that. Verse 14 says, is anyone among you, and most of your Bibles say sick, maybe all of your Bibles say sick, but the Greek word is asthenes. The first letter is a-a-sthenes. You ever heard of atypical? Means not typical. Stick with me there. How about asymmetrical? Not symmetrical. How about apathetic, apathetic? Not pathetic. It really means not having emotion, apathy, no emotion. This is another a prefix word where the a means not, and sthenes means strength, no strength. Is anyone among you without strength? That's what it means. There's another word that tells us that that's what it means. Look at verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the, and I'll bet your Bible says sick again, but it's a totally different Greek word. The translator should have brought that along. It says in verse 15, the prayer of faith will save the weary one, the worn down one. It was a word for someone who is at the end of their strength, and they're like, oh, I just can't go on. It could be used of almost depression. I just don't have the strength to go on. I have no motivation. My get up and go has got up and went. And there are other indications that this person is weak and weary and basically down for the count. Notice verse 14, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray where? Over him or her. This person is bedridden. And actually in what Pastor Drew read to us from Biblical Eldership, it said, let them call for the elders to come by their bedside. So what is the problem being addressed here? It is not sickness of any kind. It's not a common cold. It's not the cough. It is a saint who is so weak and so weary that they are probably confined to their bed or to a couch of some kind. And the prescription is to call for the elders in that case to come. Again, the problem of common illness and sickness is addressed in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering from cold or bronchitis or asthma or back pain or whatever? In that case, pray and have others pray. Verses 14 to 15 deal with a case that is more specific and more severe. So, this does happen in the Christian life. It could be the result of sickness and circumstances that you become so weak and so weary that you're not sure what the problem is. And even your motivation, even your desire to keep going may be drained out. That's what the problem is being dealt with in verses 14 and 15. So, what's the prescription? It's really not too difficult other than the oil. Notice the prescription. Is anyone among you weak? Let him call for the elders of the church. And in those days, it would have meant let that person send for the elders to come. Right? Ask your mom or your dad or ask a loved one. Ask somebody who's caring for you in this bedridden condition. Send them to call for the elders of the church to come to your bedside. These days, honestly, you could do this with a text. You could do it with a phone call. But it's saying reach out to the elders of the church. And notice elders, plural, of the church, singular. Just another reminder that God's design for the local church is a plurality of elders, not a senior pastor and some associates, not the main man and somebody else, not the deacon board. God's plan for governing the church is a plurality of godly men who meet the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. Okay, so it says, let him call for the elders of the church, and, implied, they would come, and pray over this weak and weary person. And then it says, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, prayer is the primary activity here. Anointing with oil is the secondary activity. Both are done in the name of the Lord, which means by his authority and in accordance with his word. So here, the elders would come and pray over this weak and weary saint according to what the word of God says. The Word of God says a lot of things. If we confine ourselves to James, we might pray that you would endure this trial, that you would be able to count it all joy. We might pray for you to have wisdom about what to do in this trial. We would pray that you endure this trial well. We would pray that if you have sinned and if this is a chastening, a discipline of God, we would pray that God would forgive you and that you would confess your sin and forsake it. So the prescription is very simple, other than the oil. So what's with the oil? Notice verse 14. Is anyone among you weak, as in weak and weary and down for the count? Let him call for the elders of the church to come by the bedside and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. So what's with the oil? I have no idea. I'm just kidding. Nobody got that. Of course, I have some idea. You know, today, we go to the pharmacy. How many, just show of hands, how many have been to the pharmacy lately? Yeah, they have no shortage of solutions for almost everything. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, just let's take the, you know, I've been dealing with the allergy eyes. There's Pataday, there's Aloe, there's Lasticaft, there's Visine, there's Zaditor. I mean, that's to name five that I have in my cabinet. Only, and none of which work, actually. Oh, there's fluoromethylone. That one works. But you got to get a prescription, and it's $90 for a four-week supply. Woo-hoo! Quick tip along the way, if you don't have GoodRx, Google that one later on. Because I got that $90 bottle for $22. GoodRx. All right. What was in the pharmacy back in those days, in the first century? Did they even have a pharmacy? I don't know that they even had one, but somebody said it. What is it? Olive oil. Olive oil. And in fact, if we were to go back, I'm not going to turn back there right now, but if we were to go back to Luke 10 and the Good Samaritan, remember a man got beaten up by some thieves and he's laying on the roadside and the priest walks on the other side and the Levite walks on the other side, but a Samaritan came along and he bandaged the man's wounds, but before he bandaged them, what did he pour on them? Oil. Olive oil. Google this one later, too. Not right now, please. Phones should be silenced and, you know, turned off. But if you Google olive oil, here's what you'd find. Olive oil is an anti-inflammatory. Ibuprofen. Olive oil has antioxidants. What has antioxidants? Yogurt? I don't know. Sunshine. There you go. Thank you. Olive oil has been proven to reduce the risk of stroke, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, helps treat arthritis, works as an antibiotic and an anti-aging cream. I wonder how many ladies tonight are going to be putting some olive oil around the eyelids. There's people online that say that it works. Olive oil. Used on the skin, it provides hydration, reduces inflammation, smooths and soothes, reduces wrinkles, protects against UV rays, and reduces swelling. The fact that the Good Samaritan just happened to have olive oil with him tells you it was part of everyday carry. EDC, some of you people like survival. You know, EDC is everyday carry. You know, what knife should I carry? What ointment? Olive oil. That's what it was. You used it for almost everything. I think you even used it in those days, in some cases, for upset stomach. It was Neosporin and Pepto-Bismol wrapped up in one. So what about the oil here? By the way, there's a certain movie, some of you know what it is, where the dad thinks that the solution to everything is Windex. Aha. Some of you know that one, right? My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And he sprays olive oil on everything. Well, no. Windex. He sprays Windex on everything. Jewish people would put olive oil on everything, so what about here? Most likely here. Is anyone among you weary? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Couple possibilities here. Anointing with oil symbolically could be it, right? As a symbol of calling on God's help from above. Some commentators say that. Anointing with oil medicinally, meaning if there are any wounds or any boo-boos or any hurts or whatever, oil was a healing balm. Or it could mean, and some think that it means just that you really don't anoint with oil, that that's just put in here as a metaphor, No, I don't think that's it. I think literally they would apply oil to any kind of wounds. You could say, let the elders come and pray over him and bringing meds from the pharmacy. Possibly. Some actually take it that way. The bottom line is this. It's not the oil that fixes the problem of being weak and weary and down for the count. Notice verse 15. So we looked at the problem, which is a weak and weary saint who's kind of down for the count. The prescription is call for the elders and let them come and anoint this person with oil in the name of the Lord. And here's the promise. And the prayer of faith implied the elders are going to come and pray in faith that the Lord is going to take care of you. The prayer of faith will save the sick, means save this person out of their weak and weary condition. And the Lord will raise this person up. They'll be back on their feet. Another indication that they were down. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. What does that tell you? It tells you that it may be that this is a chastening from God for sin. But it doesn't say for sure. So let's deal with a case study. Okay, case study. Wait, before that. Let me give you a fourth point. Now, we talked about the problem. Weak and weary and down for the count. That's what this is about. The prescription, call for the elders, let them come and anoint with oil and pray over this person in the name of the Lord. Is there a preventative? Look at the next verse, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That's a preventative. That's saying keep very short accounts. That's saying if you sinned yesterday, don't let that go on till tomorrow or next week. Confess your sins to the Lord. If you sin against someone else, confess your sins to that person. Why? Because it could happen that by not confessing your sin, you become weak and you become weary and you become burdened with guilt. And next thing you know, you're flat on your back and you're not sure what's wrong. And now you're in verse 14. So I think there is a preventative to what's being described here, and that is keep very short accounts with God. That doesn't mean you're never going to get sick. I'm not telling you that. But it will keep you from getting some kind of weak and weariness that would come as a chastening from the hand of God. But now let's go to a case study. Let's imagine that someone in the church family became sick. Started with a cough. Some people notice that, hey, it seems like you have a cough. You know, you okay? And I'm fine. And the cough goes on for a while. And it becomes more severe. This person goes to the doctor. The doctor says, well, I've checked you out. I'm not quite sure what you have. I think we're going to have to do some tests, x-rays, MRIs, CAT scan, PET scan. There's everything they can do, right? And they say, well, we're not sure. We got a couple suspicions here. Let's say this goes on. And finally, this person says, look, you need to see a specialist. And the specialist says, you know, I think we want to do a biopsy. Ah, that's serious, right? You know what that means they're suspecting? Cancer. Let's say that this person now goes in and they do a biopsy. And the doctor comes out and says, it's cancer. And now let's say that that person, because they just got a diagnosis of cancer, let's say the doctor says, we're thinking 6 months to a year. But now this person is just spent. Should they call for the elders? Yes. And Pastor Dan did. I asked Pastor Dan if I could share with you that in 2013, after I would say the years before that, you had a cough and we all noticed it. And people were saying, Pastor Dan, are you okay? What's with that cough? And we all came to Pastor Dan in 2011 and 2012 and finally went to some doctors and they did some tests and eventually, I think Christmas of 2012 or 13, I forget which. I don't know. I was there in the ER with Randy, with the family. I think Miss Melanie might have been there. The kids were there. When the doctor walked out and Miss Randy said, there's our knight in shining armor. And the doctor went, no, no. Miss Randy broke. Everyone started crying and the doctor said, I'm so sorry. He said, Pastor Dan has stage 4 lung cancer, mesothelioma, right? And the doctor said he's got 6 months to a year. This was 2013, beloved, 10 years ago. Pastor Dan did become weak. I asked him the other day, can I share this? And he said, I was flat on my back. That's right. He became weak and weary and burdened. We didn't have any suspicions of sin, but I would bet that Pastor Dan did a lot of soul searching and heart searching in those days. As we all do when we get sick, we wonder if it could be God's chastening. He called for the elders. We went over to his house. We actually, behind the scenes, had a discussion about the oil. We decided on olive oil, and we decided we were going to anoint his head with oil because he didn't have any visible wounds, and we were going to pray over him in faith that God would heal him and raise him up. Well, beloved, let me tell you that for the past 10 years, Pastor Dan has been crawling on more roofs than all the rest of us combined. He's running around on roofs, and he's checking roofs, and he's doing all kinds of stuff. The promise came true. The prayer of faith saved him from the condition of being weak and weary and flat on his back and wondering if he could go on living. Didn't save him from the cancer. He still got it. And by the grace of God and the miracle of modern medicine, Pastor Dan takes an antibiotic, I think, every day. We joked recently that Pastor Dan said, you know, people say don't take antibiotics. I've been taking one for 10 years. I'm not saying that you should, but I'm just saying that he does. Praise the Lord. Part of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that he cares about you. He cares about when you're sick, and he cares about you especially when you become weak and weary and lacking any motivation to go on. And he has a prescription right here. It's so simple. And I can tell you on behalf of the elders, of course, we'd be happy to come to your house for anything. You can call us over for lunch if you want, even if you're not sick. But if you get sick and you want the elders to come over, that's okay. I'm not trying to prevent you from calling the elders. But listen, beloved, if you get weak and weary and even depressed, there's where I'd say don't call the doctors for your depression. When you're sad and you're so down, you just can't go on, call the elders. Let us come over. Let us pray over you. Let us anoint your head with oil, olive oil. And trust God that he can bring you out of that. Part of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that what a friend we have in Jesus. Right? What a friend we have in Jesus Christ. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the best friend in the world, Jesus Christ, who doesn't want you to be flat on your back, unable to go on. Here's the prescription for that. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, don't leave here without him. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for these verses, which are so simple and yet so powerful. We know that if any one of us were ever to be down for the count, tired, depressed, saddened, unable to go on, we know there is a solution that you have for us. Help us to be faithful, to make use of all the resources that you give us, Father. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.